The Tampa Bay Buccaneers had the worst collapse in recent memory as Tom Brady couldn't seem to protect the football in the second half. Where did it all go wrong, and where do the Bucs go from here? Let's go.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, and welcome to the Locked On Bucs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We are your daily podcast covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, free and available on all platforms, including YouTube, where you are watching live. And we thank you for making us your first listen or view of the day. I am James Yarko, deputy editor of BucsNation.com, flying solo on this post-game live episode. But of course, you can check out my co-host, David Harrison, over at BucsGameDay.com. And of course, you can follow everything on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JRCO_Bucks, and at DHarrison82. Today's episode of Locked On Bucks is presented by LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. So post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNFL. Again, we thank you for making us your first listen or view of the day. I'm going to do my best to man the chat while I'm doing this. Usually David is kind of keeping an eye on those things. I'll get as many of the comments up on the screen as I can. But the biggest story in this one, the Buccaneers looked like a brand new team in the first half against the Cincinnati Bengals. They jumped out to a 17-0 lead before completely imploding in the second half, largely due to Tom Brady's turnovers. And look, I have already started to see the comments about how the defense is just as much to blame as the turnovers. No, absolutely not. I am not putting this one on the defense. They were put in an absolutely impossible position, drive after drive after drive, to open that second half. The defense is who they were in the first half. But when you are put in an impossible position against one of the hottest teams in the NFL, one of the most explosive offenses in the NFL, there's only so much you can do. So let's break it down. Let's talk about why this isn't on the defense that gave up 34 unanswered points. It all started with Giovanni Bernard shaving points and helping out his former teammates and his buddies in Cincinnati on 4th-and-1. Apparently, Giovanni Bernard was the only person to not know that it was a fake punt that would have converted, by the way, on 4th-and-1. Ball hits him in the helmet. Bengals take over on the Buccaneers 16-yard line. Bucs defense holds him to a field goal. Next drive, Tom Brady on 3rd-and-8, intercepted. Bengals take over on the Buccaneers 31. T. Higgins scores a touchdown. The Bengals go up 17-12. Next possession, Brady fumbles. As he gets hit, Bengals take over at the Bucs 13-yard line. Tyler Boyd scores a touchdown. T. Higgins gets a two-point conversion. Now it's 20-17. Next possession, Brady fumbles again, and the Bengals recover at the Buccaneers 33-yard line. Now Jamar Chase joins in on the fun, and it is 27-17. Next possession, Bucs still within striking distance, still lots of time to go in the fourth quarter. We just saw him do it a couple weeks ago against the New Orleans Saints. No. 1st-and-20, Tom Brady's intercepted. The Bengals take over at their own 47. Now, the defense did hold the Bengals to a punt, but that punt went out of bounds at the 2-yard line. The Buccaneers go 3 and out. They punt. Then the Bengals take up almost 7 minutes of clock, go 62 yards in 13 plays. And Wilcox scores a touchdown to go 34-17. Then, when it's all meaningless and pointless and garbage time, the Buccaneers go 75 yards in about 90 seconds, and Russell Gage gets a second touchdown of the game. You can discuss all you want about the officiating. Yeah, the Bengals got what you could consider a gift when Devin White sacked Joe Burrow for a 21-yard loss all the way back at the 50-yard line. Lavonte David gets called for a ticky-tack hold on Jamar Chase. Bengals get 5 yards and a free first down. Yep, is what it is. Then they get flagged again. I can't even remember what the penalty was. Later in that drive, they get another first down, got away with a hold on the touchdown pass. it's whatever. Carlton Davis got away with a hand on the face mask of Ja'Marr Chase on a deep pass that went incomplete. The officiating was bad. It was bad on both sides. Both teams benefited from some questionable calls. Both teams benefited from some non-calls. You can point to some egregious defensive play by the Bengals corners early in the game that they were getting away with. The hit on Tom Brady on the pass to Russell Gage that came up a yard short on third down and 10 from inside their own five. Referees did not cost the Buccaneers this game. Didn't help, but they didn't cost the Buccaneers this game. The offense turning the ball over four times and the special teams adding one more time on five consecutive possessions is what cost this team the game. This is the difference between a championship contender and a playoff fraud. And I'm saying right now the Buccaneers are playoff frauds. They do not deserve to make it to the postseason. They will, but they don't deserve it. The Cincinnati Bengals are championship contenders. They made adjustments. There were no adjustments made by the Buccaneers for the second half. Mike Evans went off in the first half. He went off in the first quarter. The guy had 71 receiving yards in the first quarter. That's the most he's had in the first quarter of a game since they beat the ever-loving snot out of the Detroit Lions 2 years ago and pulled all their starters in the second half. He got targeted three times in the second half. One of them drew a pass interference call. No catches. Where was Rashad White? Where was Rashad White in the second half? There were no adjustments made. And I tweeted it out from Bucs Nation. I said the Buccaneers cannot afford to start feeling themselves. They have to keep their foot on the gas. And to their credit, they tried with that fake punt that Gio Bernard was completely oblivious to, and he was the only one. But in that situation, up 17-3, let Kamara do what he does. Play the field position game. Your defense had been incredible the entire first half. And you just give them the ball inside your own red zone? You can't do that. You absolutely cannot do that against a team that is in play for the number one seed in the AFC. They are the three seed right now. If they beat the Bills, they are in line for the top seed in the AFC. And you handed them the game on a silver platter. The Bengals offense is too good, too talented, and too explosive to continuously give them the ball already in field goal range four straight times. And they paid for it. Do not tell me this is on the defense. The Buccaneers basically went three and out on five straight possessions. And in doing so, gave the Bengals the ball on their side of the field on four of them. The other one, they were practically already at the 50. Defenses can only hold up so long against offenses as stacked as Cincinnati's. This is 100% at the feet of the offense. You handed them the game, and there is absolutely no excuse for it. You can't even, I know I'm talking about making halftime adjustments, but the coaches aren't the ones out there throwing interceptions, fumbling handoffs, and giving the ball away to one of the best teams in the National Football League. It was the most I have watched the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for 27 years of my life. And that was the most pathetic and disgusting collapse I have ever witnessed. Going to jump over to the chat here for just a second. And we are going to say, Let's see. We have a Bengals fan in here. Afan said, y'all should have just run the ball. Well, Afan, they tried, and Brady kept dropping it. Then all of a sudden, you're in a negative game script, and you're having to throw the ball. And yeah, and Afan also said, and I apologize if I'm mispronouncing your name. He also says, thanks for the respect. Absolutely. The Bengals deserve that respect. This is a team that started off 0-2, losing to the Steelers, losing to a backup quarterback against the Dallas Cowboys, and they have caught absolute fire, and they did so without Ja'Marr Chase for a couple of weeks. They are a phenomenal football team. They are the defending AFC champions. They deserve that respect, and when you don't respect that team, I don't care how quickly you got up 17-0, when you don't respect the team on the other side of the football field, this is what happens. We're going to talk about it more coming up in just a moment. But first, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp Therapy Online. And look, it's the holiday season and people are excited. People get happy in the holiday season, but it's also one of the top times that people are the hardest on themselves. And you see people really struggle with what's going on in their lives. BetterHelp can be there if you are one of those people. BetterHelp has connected over 3 million people with licensed therapists. It's convenient, secure, and accessible anywhere, 100% online. All of the benefits of in-person therapy, plus it's more convenient, more accessible, and more affordable. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to match with a therapist. And if things aren't clicking, you can switch to a new therapist at any time. No questions asked. It could not be simpler. Get unstuck with BetterHelp. Learn more and save 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/lockedon. That's betterhelp.com/lockedon. This episode is also brought to you by our friends at LinkedIn Jobs. These days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the right people for your team faster and for free. With simple tools like screening questions, it makes it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. So start the new year off on the right foot. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNFL, all one word, linkedin.com/lockedonNFL to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you again for making Locked On Bucks your first listen or view of the day. For the biggest headlines in all of sports, make sure you are checking out Locked On Sports Today, available right here on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Real quick, I want to get back to the comments section. I know I was brief with you guys. Let's see. Kenny. Kenny says, coaches aren't holding players accountable. BA would pull players making mistakes. He would. There's no question about that. Sometimes it was to the detriment of the team, but he would pull players. Now, Bruce Arians wasn't going to pull Tom Brady in this game. It wouldn't have happened because Tom Brady still gave you the best chance to win. Francisco says, sometimes someone getting fired means a new voice. It does. Could be the right voice, could be the wrong voice. You never know. I still maintain Todd Bowles is not getting fired this year. It's not happening. I don't believe Todd Bowles gets fired after the season. I truly, truly don't. I still, as frustrating as this game was and as frustrating as last week was, I still think the Buccaneers finish winning three games in a row and get into the playoffs at 9-8. Dalton may not be as sure. He just says, I would hope they can beat Arizona with a laughing and a crying emoji. Jonathan, the pure anger he has with the Bucs is showing. Yeah, I'm real mad at them. Maybe some of you guys in the chat could use better help right now. We're going to do a little stock up, stock down, and I'm going to start with some good news. We're going to go with stock up. And I mentioned this. I wrote out the inactive report on BucksNation.com when the game day inactives were announced. And I said, look, Russell Gage has been disappointing through this season. Not always his fault, but he's been disappointing compared to the offseason hype and the offseason excitement surrounding his signing as a free agent. With Julio Jones out, I said Russell Gage was going to need to take on a larger role. He was going to need to help this offense out. And sure enough, he did. 12 targets, 8 receptions, 59 yards, two touchdowns. We can't get Mike Evans a touchdown. Come on. It's been since week 4. I mean, Mike had a great game. Don't get me wrong. But can we get Mike Evans a touchdown? I like Russell Gage. You all that have been listening to the show, especially back when Russell Gage signed, but you can even go all the way back to the divisional preview that we did before last season. I was heaping a ton of praise onto Russell Gage because I have been a big fan of his game for a very long time. He can bring a lot to this offense, but he's kind of been pushed to the corner, dealing with some injuries, and then Julio Jones has kind of emerged. He's been playing extremely well, didn't play because of that lingering knee issue. You want him to get better. As we said leading up to this game, guys, it stinks if the Buccaneers lose, but in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter. So let Julio rest, get healthy, and you know, have him down the final stretch here. Stock down, Rashad White. Again, not a whole lot of his fault, but I mean, and you guys tell me in the comments section, is it just me or did Rashad White just not exist in the second half? I'm scrolling through the play-by-play, and I saw that he was involved in 4 plays in the second half. I'm really interested to see the snap counts for this game when those come out tomorrow. But it seemed like the entire second half was all Leonard Fournette. And Fournette played a good game, but Rashad White finished with 11 carries for 38 yards. He looked decisive. He looked explosive. And then they just completely went away from him. It was really demoralizing because he's been our stock up for a couple of weeks now. Rashad White has been playing fantastic football and he just seemed to be non-existent in the second half. And I'm going to give a bonus stock down here, and it's Tom Brady. Tom Brady has turned the ball over 7 times in the last 3 games. This is a guy that went for more than half the season with just 2 turnovers. He was one of the best in the NFL for the majority of the year in touchdown to interception ratio. And all of a sudden he can't protect the football. Do you guys know how long it's been since Tom Brady had a 4 turnover game? 2011, Brady threw 4 interceptions in a game against the Buffalo Bills. This is his 8th career 4 turnover game in the regular season, and his first in over a decade. And these were not like incredible plays. The interception by Pratt, absolutely phenomenal catch. I thought for sure that one skipped in. It wasn't an interception. No, phenomenal catch by Pratt on the diving effort. It was a great play. The 2 fumbles? Why? Like the ball just straight up slipped out of his hand as he was turning around to hand it to Fournette. That is not a typical Tom Brady turnover. That's like a Kirk Cousins on Monday Night Football kind of turnover. The fumble on the sack, he was this close to being down, and all of a sudden the ball just pops out. These are not Tom Brady plays. The 3rd-and-8 interception, he tried to, if you're going to force feed a player on this team, why isn't it the guy that tore it up in the first half in Mike Evans? Why isn't it Mr. Reliable, Chris Godwin? Why isn't it the guy who took a short little pass and just barreled his way 21 yards for a big gain in Cade Otton? You force fed it into double coverage to Cameron Brate, and it got intercepted. These were not like incredible jaw-dropping plays by the Bengals defense. It was opportunistic, but these were Brady's errors. These were giveaways, not Bengals takeaways. And I think that's a very distinct difference. Brady straight up gave the ball away. Again, except for Pratt's interception, it was a great play by the Bengals defense, because before the ball was in the air, I can't remember if the ball was tipped or if Brady's arm was hit as he was releasing it, but it was a great play by the Bengals defense. That was absolutely a takeaway. The other three were giveaways. He's not playing Tom Brady football. And for as bad as this season has been, and as many questions as we've had surrounding Brady's arm strength or shoulder injury or hand injury, he's still been Tom Brady. He's still been putting up decent numbers. They've had red zone struggles. They're not scoring the way that we're used to them scoring, but he was still leading the NFC in passing yards. He was still making those ridiculous tight window throws. And all of a sudden, just the wheels have completely fallen off. They have a chance to get right. And I'm going to talk about it more on tomorrow's episode. Going to talk about it more leading up to the game. But the Bucs are facing three very beatable defenses. And if you're going to get right, you're going to get right against the Arizona Cardinals. We got Jonathan in the chat. Thank God the rest of the NFC South is bad. Yup. Dalton, he was absolutely destroyed on that throw. Yeah, I remembered he was hit. I couldn't remember like if it was a full-on like blast or if it was just his arm got hit as he was releasing the ball. But again, that play was an incredible play by the Bengals defense. And then Dalton, 3,896 yards, 20 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Those are decent numbers. You'll take those numbers. But the last couple of games, it's been rough. All right, we are going to wrap things up coming up in just a moment. Today's episode is brought to you in part by Prize Picks. Just pick 2 to 5 players, and if they will score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. You're not competing against other people. It's just you against the Prize Picks projections. And they offer projections on any sport that you can watch. The NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, thank God the Lightning are good, PGA, WNBA, boxing, disc golf, Euro basketball, cricket, and more. Safe and fast withdrawals, currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. So download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks is going to match you all the way up to $100. So don't forget promo code Locked On at signup for an instant deposit match up to $100. Wrapping things up here on a very frustrated post-game episode of the Locked On Bucs podcast. And look, I appreciate each and every one of you jumping in the chat. We have a lot of people watching right now. I appreciate each and every one of you, but let's talk about it. Where do the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 6-8 go from here? You're at Arizona on Christmas Day. So for those of you that observe, Merry Christmas, everybody. You get to watch the Buccaneers in primetime. They're at home against the Carolina Panthers on New Year's Day. Then they wrap up the season at Atlanta. Now, good news for the Bucs. Both Atlanta and Carolina lost. So the Buccaneers are still up one game in this absolute disaster division. The Arizona Cardinals do not have Kyler Murray. Colt McCoy left the game on Sunday due to an injury and was replaced by Trace McSorley. So the Buccaneers are preparing to face an offense, led by either a banged-up Colt McCoy or Trace McSorley. The Arizona Cardinals are also one of the worst defenses in the NFL. So as I said just a moment ago, and as we're going to dive into throughout the rest of the week, if you're going to have a get-right game, it's going to be Christmas against the Arizona Cardinals. Yes, DeAndre Hopkins is good. Yes, Hollywood Brown is good. Yes, even Robbie Anderson can be good sometimes. But who's going to get them the ball? Some other good news. Another thing to look at here. As the Bucks enter the final stretch, three more games to go. The Arizona one is important, but not as important as Carolina and Atlanta. You beat Carolina, you beat Atlanta, you win the division, you're in the playoffs. Tristan Wirfs, I think, again, this is pure speculation on my part, I think he plays next week against the Cardinals. He was doubtful last week against the San Francisco 49ers. He was questionable heading into the weekend this week against the Cincinnati Bengals. I think Wirfs is back. The other thing that a lot of you may not have seen, I know not all of you are on Twitter, but there was a video of the pregame warmups where Ryan Jensen, who didn't appear to have a brace on his leg, it was hard to tell. He was wearing sweatpants, might have been on underneath, but there didn't seem to be a knee brace kind of bulge on his leg. He was snapping the ball to Tom Brady in pregame. So I think we're looking at a return from Ryan Jensen sooner than later. Is it going to be next week against the Arizona Cardinals? I don't think so. But circle New Year's Day. Circle January 1st against the Carolina Panthers. And I think we got, I'll throw out a 50-50 chance that Ryan Jensen suits up and will play. I'll even bump it to 60-40 against Atlanta. You get Tristan Wirfs back. You get Ryan Jensen back. This offensive line looks a lot different. The protection for Tom Brady looks a lot different. The running lanes for Leonard Fournette and Rashad White look a lot different. What have I told you guys over and over and over again? It's not always the best team that makes it to the Super Bowl or wins the Super Bowl. It's the team that's playing the best and gets hottest at the right time. Am I sitting here saying that the Buccaneers are going to go on a run and win seven games in a row and be the Super Bowl champions? No, that is absolutely not what I am saying. What I am saying is going into the playoffs, getting your two best offensive linemen back, and winning three games in a row can go a really, really long way. All you have to do is get into the tournament, and anything can happen, especially in the NFC. The NFC is wide open. The Philadelphia Eagles are a phenomenal football team. Past that, the NFC is wide open. Going to jump to the chat one more time. Pat says, took about 2 hours to get optimistic again. I'm not optimistic. I feel I'm more realistic. The Cardinals, the Panthers, the Falcons, they are all very beatable teams. This was a very bad matchup for the Buccaneers. I picked them to lose this game. I was surprised they jumped out to as early of a lead as they did, and then they let the Bengals crawl back into it. You know, I was going to pick the 49ers. David kind of convinced me not to based on the crossover. But the Cardinals, the Falcons, the Panthers, they are not the 49ers and the Bengals. They're just not. These are three winnable teams, especially if you get some key players back. Pat, you got me believing again. I appreciate you, Pat. Alex says, we start Kyle Trash. No, he was replying to Tuna. Tuna in the chat said bench Brady. No, they're not benching Brady. It's not happening. Tom Brady still gives you the best chance to win. He had a terrible game last week. He had a terrible game this week. He is leaps and bounds better than Blaine Gabbert and Kyle Trask. I'm telling you, I like Kyle Trask. He's a good dude. He ain't it. You still have a chance to make the playoffs. You still have the inside track to win the division. You're not throwing the season away. Again, anything can happen when you get into the tournament. A couple other ones. Let's admit it. Brady should have retired last year or maybe after the Bucs won the Super Bowl. I don't think Brady should have retired after last year, but I think the I'm retired, I'm not retired thing played into it a little bit, that he was never 100% in. And I'll say this before I close things out. If Tom Brady returns next season, whether it's for the Bucs or whether it's for anybody else, if Tom Brady plays next season, he is going to look like the old, the vintage Tom Brady. He's not going to look like old man Tom Brady. He's going to look like he normally does. And that's going to be because he will be laser focused on football. There won't be any waxing and waffling. Should I play? Should I not play? I'm retired. I'm not retired. There's no disappearance in training camp. There's no off-field distractions. You know, personal issues are personal issues. Brady went through them. Donovan Smith said he's going through them. My interview with Devin White, he was going through them. And players snap out of it. Seems like Brady hasn't fully snapped out of it yet. But if he returns to play in the NFL next season, he will be laser focused. And people keep saying, what does he have left to prove? Well, now he's got something to prove. He has to prove that he can still get the job done. With that, I am going to get out of here. I want to thank each and every one of you that joined in on the live show, in the live chat. You all are amazing, and I appreciate you all so, so much. We will be back tomorrow with another episode. Until then, check out everything I'm doing over at BucsNation.com. Check out everything David is doing over at BucsGameDay.com. And, of course, follow everything on Twitter, at Locked On Bucks, at JArco underscore Bucks, and at DHarrison82. Thank you one more time for making Locked On Bucks your first listener view of the day. And make sure you check out the biggest headlines in all sports with Locked On Sports Today, available on YouTube, this app, wherever you get your podcasts. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding day. Stay safe, stay healthy, fire those cans. Thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.